From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. The Illinois State Police is most visible in its role patrolling the state's highways, but state troopers have far more responsibilities than making sure we don't speed across the prairie. State troopers also investigate homicides, they handle licensing for firearm owners, and they regulate aspects of the marijuana and gambling industries. Employees of the state police also handle much of Illinois' forensic work, processing evidence to help solve crimes. All of this is ultimately the responsibility of the director of the state police. Brendan Kelly was appointed to that role by Governor Pritzker back in 2019. Before that, he had been the state's attorney of St. Clair County in the Metro East area of Illinois, across the river from St. Louis. Director Brendan Kelly, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for being here.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Good to talk to you again.
And listeners, as ever, you are invited to join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. Once again, the number is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. So, Director Kelly, I know you've made you and the governor have made a priority of improving the diversity of the state police workforce. So I thought we'd start our conversation there. Can you talk about the 30 by 30 pledge?
Well, I think that is one part of what we're trying to do to improve diversity. And I think, you know, there's a reason diversity is important. It's talked about a lot, not just in law enforcement, but in every sector of our society. But it can't be just symbolism. It can't just be, you know, tokenism or something that just makes us feel good. It has to be about making sure that we're doing our job in a fair and constitutional way when you're talking about policing. And that's definitely been a priority of the governor's. It's a priority of the Illinois State Police. And I think you can see the success that we're having at multiple levels, not just in terms of our recruitment efforts, but starting at the leadership level with having the most diverse command cadre in the history of the Illinois State Police, our people that are in our top positions. You also see it in terms of how we've tried to reduce any bias or subjectivity when it comes to the promotion process. That's something that the Illinois State Police have been committed to for a long time. It's part of our culture. The Illinois State Police had the first African-American trooper in the history of the United States of America. So this is not something that is new for the Illinois State Police. It's an effort that's been ongoing, and we're having some good success on that front. In addition, it's at the front door, not just when we get people in the Illinois State Police, that we're focused on diversity. And we'll be starting the most diverse class in the history of the Illinois State Police. They started on Sunday. Amazing young men and women who showed up, who want to serve and protect their community with integrity and service and pride with the values of the Illinois State Police. So at all those levels, we are having progress. Now, can we do more? Do we need to continue to make sure that when it comes to policing, the people that are doing the policing reflect the communities that we're being asked to protect and to serve? Yes, there's always room for progress, but I think it's clear that the Illinois State Police are leading on this front. The 30 for 30 effort is also about making sure we have a growing number of women that are coming into law enforcement. And frankly, we have a very strong, impressive presence within the Illinois State Police, but those numbers continuing to grow. We have strong interest from young people who are wanting to commit their lives to serving the community, to protecting public safety. So it's something we're moving forward on all fronts, and it's frankly within the DNA of the Illinois State Police to do that.
So that's 30% of the new police cadet class, or 30% of new troopers by 2030 would be women, is the idea there, right?
Yeah, that's our goal. And this is a movement across all of law enforcement, and the people that law enforcement have to interact with, the people that need our help, the people that, whether they're on the side of the road, on the interstate, that need help, or they're in a community that we're investigating a sexual assault or domestic violence or child abuse. We're obviously dealing with very complicated, delicate issues. And the more we have diverse life experiences, people from all walks of life that have experienced life in every community in this state, the more likely we are able to be successful at being able to investigate a crime, to deter crime, and to protect public safety.
Right. So as you say, I mean, diversity is not about, you know, having good figures and colorful charts and annual reports. It's about reflecting the communities. I want to ask you, though, about, according to the most recent figures, 2020, I believe, from the Illinois Traffic and Pedestrian Stop Study, the state police stopped black drivers at a rate about twice that of white drivers. Black drivers are more likely to get a ticket rather than a warning, and they were much more likely to have their vehicles searched, and contraband was found, though, at about the same rate as white drivers. So my question is, all these years after we started collecting these data, about 20 years now, why are we still seeing police stopping black motorists far above their representation in the population?
Well, fairness in policing and constitutional policing continues to be, it's an ongoing effort. It's an ongoing challenge. It's not something that you just pass a law and you write a report and suddenly we're better. Again, we have strong directives, but we also have ongoing developing training to reduce unconscious bias. That does occur. We know that it occurs. And it's one thing to just tell the men and women of law enforcement, hey, you know, don't be biased. Go be fair. Well, that's easier said than done. You have to equip people with the tools to do that. You have to properly train them. You have to give them the skills to be able to see how patterns might inadvertently develop, patterns and practices could emerge, and making sure you're consciously aware of that and making sure that you have good policies and training and deliberate tools in place to prevent that. I think we welcome that transparency. We welcome having those facts and figures. I think that is a good thing. As you mentioned, you know, we do most of the forensics in this state, so we look at things forensically. We like statistics. We like metrics. We like being held accountable. And looking at that information, you can see that we're better than the state average. There's always continued room to make sure that as we are policing, that we're doing so in a fair and constitutional way. But the numbers there indicate that we're a little bit better than the state average. I think we've led in many ways when it comes to making sure that we have strong measures of accountability and that we are giving people the tools they need to make sure there is not bias in policing, that we're policing constitutionally. And I think we are leading on that front in many ways. But that is part and parcel, again, of the culture of the Illinois State Police. We've had civilian oversight for over 60 years, going back to Adlai Stevenson. We have a state police merit board. We have thousands and thousands of encounters with the public every day. And when there's issues with that, there's a disciplinary process, there's an accountability process. But I think you can see from the numbers, not just those particular traffic stops, but when it comes to use of force, our numbers are very low. When it comes to the number of complaints from citizens, as well as lawsuits, our numbers are very low compared to the thousands and thousands of interactions that the Illinois State Police has with the public every day. And I think in many ways, we're setting the standard, and in many ways, we're leading on that front.
We're speaking with Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. 800-222-9455 is our number if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. Sticking for a moment with this idea of recruitment, last year requirements to be a state trooper changed from a bachelor's degree to 60 credit hours or an associate's degree. How is this going to change the state police?
Well, I think we're already seeing an opportunity emerge for us to be able to bring people into the Illinois State Police that may have felt that it was not a realistic opportunity for them. I think what we saw from the research is that we want people that have integrity. We want people with the right head and heart, people with good judgment. And that saying that just because you have a bachelor's degree means you're the right type of person and the high quality person that we're looking for to serve in the Illinois State Police, that was in many ways for some communities an artificial barrier. There was already an exception in place for people with veteran service. But there are many people from many communities across the state of all walks of life and all backgrounds where it's not always realistic to be able to get a bachelor's degree because of access, because of issues in rural communities as well, where it's difficult to be able to achieve that bachelor's degree. And if you got somebody that has the right integrity, somebody has the right frame of mind, somebody that has the heart of what we're looking for in an Illinois State Police officer, that's who we want. An artificial barrier that says, you know, just because you got a bachelor's degree means you're a better person than somebody else we know that that's not true. I know some people that have law degrees, have doctorates and PhDs, and they have no business being in the Illinois State Police. They don't have what it takes. And so making sure that we are able to recruit from all walks of life and to be able to bring those people in who want to serve, that's very important. And that's another opportunity to be able to improve the quality of the individual that we have in the Illinois State Police and be able to reflect the community that we're trying to protect and serve.
I think the last question I want to ask on this topic, I noted in the agency's diversity, equity, and inclusion plan, and acknowledged some of the areas of the state police that do not attract diverse candidates. The SWAT team was one that was named in particular. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think, you know, it depends on each type of work unit. SWAT is one area where we know that we have, sometimes because of the physical requirements, it can be difficult for women. It's like in certain parts of the military, there are certain requirements that you have to develop ahead of time. So we're being trying to be very conscious and very deliberate for those type of units, where we make sure people have access to the skill set that they need. For example, you need to be very good and very precise and very accurate with the use of firearms. Everybody should be in the Illinois State Police, but there's a greater degree of sophistication in SWAT, the type of firearms that they use, as well as the equipment that they use and the intensity of the training, the precision that they have, and making sure that people within the Illinois State Police who want to be in that type of unit, we have to lay the groundwork for them to have those additional skill sets. And sometimes you have folks that are coming from the military that have that skill set and that they're attracted to SWAT because of their background. So that's an area among any areas that we have to continue to make sure that the people, again, the people that we're protecting are reflected in the units and the of law enforcement that are doing the job of protecting them.
I want to turn now to forensic analysis. The state police recently announced a reduction, as you know, in the backlog of biological DNA analysis. But there have been stories of people being told they'll wait 2 years for evidence of a rape to be processed, for example. Yeah. Can you say what is the timeline now for processing that sort of evidence? And I mean, you are a prosecutor. What is an acceptable timeline for that?
Well, we've made a lot of progress on this front. This is a real success story for the Illinois State Police and the men and women who are our forensic scientists. We have the largest laboratory system, one of the largest laboratory systems in the country. We're the only state laboratory system that does both statewide and a large metropolis, the third largest city in the United States of America, and the city of Chicago. So we do all of their forensics. And we saw over the past 20 years as the demand for forensics has grown, particularly when we're talking about DNA, as that has grown as a result of public perceptions about the quality of that evidence and the need to have that evidence in a courtroom for a jury to be able to make a decision on someone's being guilty or not guilty. The demand for that had exploded, but the systems and laboratory systems did not have the capacity and the tools that they needed. So for decades, this is something that the Illinois State Police, like every other laboratory system, has struggled with. But since 2019, because of investments in technology, because investments in people, because of holding people accountable and improvements in the technical process and going through a Lean Six Sigma analysis, which helps reduce the waste and inefficiency and redundancies, we have been able to reduce the backlog for biology DNA by over 60% during that period. That's a tremendous turnaround from where it was for years. In addition, particularly on the sex assault cases, when we started measuring in 2019, at its peak, we had over 1,000 cases that were over 6 months old. And now we are down to a handful of about 40 or 50 that are just 6 months old. Now, a day is too long. A month is too long. 6 months is too long. But we have to acknowledge the limits and the parameters of the science and our ability to process these. And I think you're seeing the effort that we've shown really improve the turnaround time significantly for victims of crime. Now, the question will be, from a systems perspective, if we've reduced the backlog by over 60% for biology DNA, particularly in those sexual assault cases, are we seeing more prosecutions? That will be the next step in that process. And that's why the governor signed the Forensic Sciences Commission bill that the Illinois State Police developed in the past legislative session. That will be the venue in which we work the next level of this dynamic and this problem. As you know, I was the co-chair of a working group with the former attorney general on sexual assaults, where a lot of improvements were made to the law and training in terms of investigations. And a significant amount of resources that we have invested since 2019 in reducing the DNA backlog has produced some tremendous results. We're going to keep working until it's completely eliminated. But in those short 2 years, we have made tremendous progress. But there will be the next frontier. And the next question is, if we are getting these cases assignments, these DNA assignments done quickly, what is that producing in terms of more just outcomes for victims of sexual assault?
If you're just tuning in, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly. We're going to need to take a break at this point. Listeners, as ever, we do want to invite you to join our conversation. 800-222-9455 is the number. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can always tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. We're going to continue our conversation with State Police Director Brendan Kelly in a moment. And then later in the program, we're also going to be talking a little bit different, a science story and a history story. Illinois, as you know, has a state flower and a state bird. Now there's also a state microbe, Penicillium rubens. It grew up here in central Illinois in Peoria, and there's a story related to that of a woman known as Moldy Mary. We'll try and unravel some of that history coming up after our continued conversation with State Police Director Brendan Kelly. It's all coming up after a break. You're listening to The 21st. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Illinois State Police Director Brendan Kelly. 800-222-9455 is the number if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. Director Kelly, you are also a prosecutor in St. Clair County. I want while we're still on the subject of forensic analysis, crime scene type work, I wanted to ask you, Federal Judge Jed Rakoff has suggested recently that maybe that sort of work ought not to be done by police, by prosecutors as sort of part of the team, but it ought to be independent. I wonder, what is your view on, you know, maybe making someday a separate crime scene? I know you've thought about criminal justice reform issues. You were on the commission put together by Governor Rauner a few years back, looking at ways the criminal justice system could be improved in Illinois. What would you think about separating that work from the state police?
I don't think it's necessary. And let me tell you why. Science is science. Facts are facts. I know that there's a lot of discussion in our country about science and maybe attitudes about that not always the same, depending upon who you talk to. But at the end of the day, facts are facts. Science is science. And the men and women who serve in our Division of Forensic Sciences have for the existence of the state police forensics laboratory system have always been committed to that no matter what. For example, on sexual assault cases, it's a great saying, one of our bench scientists that works on biology DNA, she treats those DNA assignments with such care, as they all do, with such transparency and accountability for themselves and for the department and for the public. And her attitude is, she works on that case as if the victim in the sexual assault case could be her daughter and the suspect could be her son. And that she is so committed, and they all are, to making sure they absolutely get it right. And we do that for every single department in this state. We do it for every police agency in Illinois, including the Chicago Police Department, not just the Illinois State Police. So it's not just our internal work. And we give people the results, whether they like them or not. And I can tell you, as a prosecutor, I didn't always get the results I was hoping for from the state police lab system in terms of how the evidence might help strengthen a particular case. But the facts were the facts. The science was the science. It didn't matter whether or not this supported the defense side or the prosecution side. This was the evidence. And that's the attitude that the men and women in Illinois State Police have who serve in our Division of Forensic Services. So I just don't think it's necessary. I respect there's different opinions about that. But the evidence that we pursue is done based on science and nothing else.
You mentioned diverging views on science nowadays, and I think we all know you're talking about COVID-19 there. As you know, Governor Pritzker has announced vaccines will be required for correctional officers, people who work in other crowded state facilities like Veterans Home. Will state troopers be required to get a COVID vaccine?
So at this point, we did a very aggressive vaccine drive within the Illinois State Police as the various vaccines have been rolled out, the three different options. And we did pretty well. We are definitely in a much better situation than some other departments, to be frank.
Do you have a percentage? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we're at about 60%, So we're doing an additional round of vaccinations now. Now that one of them has been approved by the FDA, we began that process a couple weeks ago to try to give people the opportunity again. There's vaccine hesitancy from a variety of different views and a variety of different perspectives. And we've tried to have a good, respectful conversations with our folks about why this is the right thing to do. And I think that approach has been very fruitful, and our numbers are continuously increasing. If the governor makes a decision that it's mandatory vaccination, then that will be, of course, the policy that we pursue. But we're continuing to improve our vaccination rate. Again, I think relative to other agencies, we're doing pretty well. That's not to disparage other agencies, but I think that the family approach that we've taken of having continuously educating our people, whether they are sworn personnel or whether they are our civilian personnel, if you will, that we have within the Illinois State Police, has been very fruitful. We have vaccinated, as a part of an operation that we did, over 16,000 first responders in this state. We did vaccinations for the FBI, for the DEA, for the Secret Service, for all our federal partners here in this state, for people from departments all over the state. They turned to the state police to be able to have that access. And I think it's a point of pride for us that our numbers are pretty good. We believe in protecting our people, and we believe in protecting the public. And I think that you're seeing that in the numbers that continue to grow.
I mentioned we opened our phone lines. We do have a caller on the line. Nancy is calling in from McChesney Park. Nancy, thank you for calling in.
Hello.
Hi there. What did you, if you can turn your radio down, what did you want to call about? Thank you for calling in.
Oh, can you now hear me okay?
No, we can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Okay, fine. I wanted to call and compliment this director, and I don't know him personally, of course. I want to compliment him on what he said about the backlog of cases.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, Nancy. I'm sure the director will appreciate hearing that. I do want to ask about one other I know our time is short, Director Kelly. The backlog in firearm owner identification cards, concealed carry permits, this has been the subject of a lawsuit, as you know. What is the holdup there?
Well, I'm surprised we haven't got more calls, Brian. I get calls all day, every day about the FOID issue. Look, that system is another example of how we're having to rebuild the Illinois State Police. You know, I mentioned that we're adding cadet classes, we're hiring forensic scientists, we're hiring firearms eligibility analysts to deal with all the challenges that we're facing. We've got $120 million in our capital development bill to rebuild our facilities. But this is another area that over a 20-year period was significantly neglected. There wasn't a lot of thought put into hiring additional firearms eligibility analysts, as we've gone from having 1.2 million FOID card holders to 2.2 million in just 10 years. So the system was not built out to respond to the growing number of individuals who have firearms identification cards as well as concealed carry license. So
I'm sure you hear from those callers, oh, Democratic governor, Democratic legislature, they're slow walking this. This is intentional. What do you say to people when you hear that?
Well, I can tell you that the sweeping of funds that were in the Firearm Services Fund occurred in both Democratic and Republican administrations prior to Governor Pritzker. And the governor has made it a priority to stabilize that fund and not touch it at all. And as a result of that fund being stabilized and not being swept, as a result of his decision to do that, we've been able to actually plan and hire additional people. We've been able to implement some changes in terms of technology. And as the huge explosion, the number of purchase of firearms and applications for firearms identification cards occurred during the civil unrest of 2020, we've been digging out of that process as a result of the stability in that fund. In addition, you know, we've invested in the technology and people, and you're seeing every month since its peak, we've now been able to process more FOID card applications going out than coming in. The renewals have dropped significantly as a result of investments in technology. But really, this system and the statutory construct for it was very much out of date. It was treating a firearms identification card more like a fishing license, and it needed significant revision. So the Illinois State Police worked with Democrats, Republicans, people from both sides of the aisle, people very interested in gun safety advocacy as well as gun rights. We talked to everybody about this issue and came up with a fairly thoughtful bipartisan bill that was passed and signed by the governor that will consolidate and simplify this process. Our goal when it comes to firearm safety is to make it easy for the good guys and make it hard for the bad guys. And we know as a result of the delays and people getting their FOID cards that we've got to make it easier for the good guys. And we know as a result of what happened in Aurora, we have had to make it harder for the bad guys. And this bill that was passed and the priorities that we've invested in terms of personnel, in terms of enforcement, in terms of technology, we are making sure that those two missions are the focus for the Illinois State Police going forward.
Director Brendan Kelly, we've gone over time with you. Thank you for that. There's still a lot more I had in my list of questions to ask you, from camera, license plate cameras on the Dan Ryan, to the rise in shootings across Illinois, to continued problems with Scott's Law and state troopers being crashed into on their vehicles, being crashed into on the side of the road. I hope you will return. Thank you for joining us today on the 21st.
Absolutely.
Director Brendan Kelly of the Illinois State Police. More to come in just a moment.